I need an intervention, John. My tech systems are all broken and everything's a mess. And I've been like just hanging on by a thread and shuffling through every day for a while now. And I realized yesterday, taking a 2-hour drive with no technology in my hand, how bad all of my systems have become. And I need help. I need professional help to get my systems back in place. And you, John, are the person I want to talk to about this, because I have this mental image, and it may be wrong, and you may tell me that it's not right, but that you are just like the systems guy. I feel like every day you wake up and check your OmniFocus in perfect order and go to sleep doing the same thing and have these awesome series of text expander things and drafts things and shortcuts that make your life perfect. That's what I see in my head when I picture John computing. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I come to you because I tell you that all of my systems are horribly broken and have been broken for a little while now. And I don't know what to do about it.
Well, I don't dispute that characterization. I'll put it this way. If anything's going wrong in my life, it's because I have built too much leeway into the system as currently constituted, which is often the case. But it's my fault/choice. So yeah, I consider myself a systems guy. I think that if systems are your issue, I could be of service. But I already have a question.
Okay, what's the question?
Why are you pluralizing the word systems?
Well, because I mean everything is messed up. I mean that my task management systems are messed up. I mean that my like bookmarking, curating, saving systems are messed up. I mean that my creating systems are messed up. All of these things that I used to have pretty good are like untenable. It just isn't working for me. And it's not working for me in several ways. It's not working for me because I don't feel like motivated to do things well. And it's not working because I'm not making anything right now. Mm-hmm. And as an achievement-oriented person, that's always a sign of distress, I feel like, is when I don't have a form of actually like good output. And if I don't have a form of good output, then why would I have good task management or saving systems? Because I don't even know what the heck I would do with it if I had good tasks or good bookmarking systems or whatever it is. So I just have realized that over the course of a year, a lot of the systems that I had that were good have fallen to the wayside, and that I'm not happy. I'm not happy with how things are.
Well, okay, so my preamble is, if we can, by the end of this conversation, get you from talking about your various systems to getting you to talking about your one unified system, then we've done our job.
That's probably a good point.
So it sounds like you just set out the end goal for yourself of production, that like, or at least like that's sort of the healthy state of the system, is if like everything is in line, then there's output coming out. And if there is an output coming out, then the entire rest of the system needs to be recalibrated. Is that like a good unifying principle?
That is very true. Right. Okay. So let's start with task management stuff. You and I had this conversation, I think off air, about my task management woes and how one of the things that I want to do the most is find a system that works the way that my brain works, which is I don't like how task management systems every single item gets like equal weighting. I don't like the fact that a task that could take my entire mental energy for the week has the same line height and size as take out the trash that requires me to walk down my drive and back up. And I know that there are certain ways around that, but they all feel a little too finicky for me. And you and I talked about how what I really want is almost like a Magic the Gathering or Hearthstone type of card system where like I only have so much energy per day, and I have to choose wisely how much energy I can use on each task, and like allocating each task a particular amount of energy would be really rad. And I was trying to like figure out how to make that happen. And I think that in doing that, So I started trying to figure out how to make that exist in Things or OmniFocus. Both didn't feel right, and then I just gave up completely. And it's like, it's sort of like that's where I've been lately, is I have had a decent understanding or an inkling of what I'm trying to design or attain. And if it feels unattainable because of some weird problem I have, like, oh, there isn't really an app for this, or oh, I can't figure out a way to make this look good, then I give up. So I just am trying to recognize that I think I'm the type of person that I have this idyllic system in my head, and if I can't get it, then I just don't have any system at all. And that's dumb. Like, I shouldn't do that to myself. I would much rather just work within the confines of what I have to actually have an 85% good system, as opposed to having all or nothing, which has kind of been my MO for the last year or so.
The idea that software features of off-the-shelf software is preventing you from assembling the system the way that you have it in mind is the first place I want to push on. Mm-hmm. I completely sympathize with that feeling of looking at a list of tasks and feeling like these all seem equally important. Like, how can I prioritize them? I definitely think that it is the job of task management software, if we choose to employ it, to help us with this problem, to show you things prioritized correctly. And the reason I use OmniFocus, for example, is because I don't think of OmniFocus as a productivity system. I think of it as a productivity system with independent subsystems of arbitrary number. So that, like, it's basically for building the productivity system for each thing you need to do according to your own specifications. So the way that I handle priority in OmniFocus, I guess I have four priority levels of tasks that are available to do, because then there are also ways of making tasks unavailable to do, which is a kind of giving them zero priority. But I use various statuses, tags, flags, and due dates at the highest levels, filtered through various perspectives to sort of give me a cross-section of things according to priority. The thing that it doesn't give you is the thing that you're asking for on the other end, which is like, I only have so much energy to put into this work on a daily basis. How do I manage that? How do I keep track of that? And I think that's a really interesting problem to solve that I actually think is a level down, sort of even like physiologically, from the what do I have to do right now question. Like, I think that the reason that I don't concern myself overly much with like how much of my energy I can spend on a given task or on tasks in a given day is that I think it's a very confused analysis that we make of ourselves, because there is probably some objective energy level that we have in our body and mind at any given time. But then, like, the mood that we're in, or any number of other like low down biological factors or psychological factors, can like actually confuse us as to how ready we are for any given thing. Cause like, we could be very high energy, but also be very overwhelmed. And then that energy isn't available for doing stuff. Right. And likewise, like, we could be very low energy, but we could be very clear, like in terms of thoughts and emotions. And there may be a lot of, difficult stuff that we could get done just by not being distracted and kind of plodding through it at a slow pace. So I guess I want to take us down a notch before we even get to task management, to energy management, and ask you what ways you're assessing your own energy level at any given time, and even like what you're doing to like recharge your own energy. How are you managing your own spiritual state on a given day? Like, I feel like we have to answer that question first before we can figure out how to parcel it up and assigned it to things.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that for me, I know that as a very task-oriented person, I do not feel good about myself if a day goes by and I have not achieved at various things in my life. And so something as simple as taking out the trash or doing the dishes or something like house related, you're right, because something like that can actually sometimes give me more energy than like taking away from me. But then there are certain things that I just do not feel necessarily good at or just feel draining. Taking the coffee shop example as something that I've been working on a lot lately, working with the city for like governmental permits, that is extremely draining. Working with an accountant to balance the books, that's not something that I get hyped to do. And so those things feel like they take a lot of my energy. And if I think about it as just, I'm trying to get 10 or 15 things done every day, that feels like it is in itself all that I can get done some days, because it's so, so draining to me for whatever reason, one reason or another. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it is a good point that it doesn't necessarily make sense to assign energy level to every task, because sometimes things that would be rudimentary would actually end up being like plus one or plus two, because I do it quickly, I feel like I crushed it, and now I have energy to do something else. So, but to me, I think my reason and rationale for wanting something like that is because I want to be able to, at the end of the day, look at the fact that I only got one thing done and realize, well, that one thing was really challenging and actually you should feel good about it. Mm-hmm. Or look at it and say, today was actually, you know, I didn't really have that much to do. I only did five things. None of them were like that heavy. I need to get more done. And I don't know how to like convince myself to do that type of stuff as an entrepreneur, which is what I've been for the last couple of years, as somebody who's independently employed and working, you know, I set my own work schedule. And when you don't have somebody telling you that you have to make a quarterly report, it can be hard to feel self-motivated on the regular. That's something that's been a bit tricky for me lately. It's a tyranny of the urgent type problem that I'm having, where I'm constantly getting the urgent stuff done, often at the last minute because it's boring, and I'm not getting the quote-unquote important stuff done because no one's asking me if it's being managed. It's up to me and entirely up to me to do it.
I think tyranny of the urgent problems come from over-reliance on the task manager, and it's very low resolution, as you've said, picture of what the importance of something is. And without a proper structure, or you know, what OmniFocus would call perspectives for creating cross sections of your database of things to do, something is either on fire or not. And the things that are on fire obviously get priority. But you touched on motivation as the underlying problem here, and like that motivation of like something's on fire and I have to put the fire out is, first of all, not enough of a motivation to get any of the things that aren't on fire done ever. And also like ultimately exhausting of your motivation to do anything. So, you know, living life like that is unsustainable. It's just stress driven.
Yeah.
So I actually have a rule of thumb about this kind of stuff that speaks to a lot of what you've said that I never thought of as that profound of a thing, but it's something that I've said out loud to a few people and they've been like, whoa, dude. So like, so I don't know, take it or leave it. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. But I have a rule of thumb that a day was not wasted if I got one significant thing done that day. And that significance that is a subjective call. I mean, I've had enough days of getting nothing significant done to know what that feels like, and to know that I've had a day like that, even if I checked off 14 things in my task manager, because none of those things had significance. And what this sounds like to me actually is a job for journaling, which is not a practice that I'm really doing right now, but it's one that I have done. I mean, it's arguably the personal practice that I've put the most time and energy into in my life. It's just, it's been a long time since I guess I feel like I've really needed to do it. And ultimately, I think the reason why is because I implemented journaling like in seventh grade as a way of assessing the significance of what was happening to me. And I think it started off as like a cathartic practice of being like, everything feels so significant. Like I need to remember how significant this felt. And over time, I just sort of learned a more intuitive sensitivity to the significance of something that was happening or something that I was doing, to the point now where I don't actually feel like I need more than a snap judgment on that. I mean, like the other thing that's happened in my life is that I've had a series of jobs and relationships and life milestones, as have you, where like the significance is kind of beyond question.
Right.
And even in a given day where not a whole lot gets done in any objective sense, the significance of making it through a day of that is a significant enough accomplishment to sleep at night. I'm sure you feel me. And like these days for me, like often like having the baby wake up, eat three meals and go to sleep and, you know, like, and not have any kind of emergencies, feels like a significant enough accomplishment to me that I don't feel the need to journal that that happened today, you know?
Right. Right.
But
yeah.
At periods of time when, my day-to-day rhythm felt more like yours does, I think, you know, there was a very long stretch of time for me from like 2013 to 2018, when I really like all of that, like I was kind of my own boss in a moment to moment sense. I mean, there was like a couple of years of that, I was a full-time employee of a company, but like one of those years I was 10 hours ahead of them. So I was the only one awake anyway. So like, it didn't really feel like I had any managers or anything like that. And even still I was remote. So like in that period of time, it did feel like it was up to me to assess the significant, whether the things I was doing was significant or not. And that was actually the last really heavy journaling period that I had. It kind of came back in that period of time, kind of the post blogging time. Like the whole tech blog era was not a very spiritually deep time in my life, but this period really was. It sort of reignited this like need to constantly assess the significance of what was happening and really appreciate the idea that if something big happened today, it was a good day. So what do you think of journaling as a way of not just of assessing the significance of what's happening, but also checking in with yourself as a way of creating some kind of baseline against which you can measure the level of energy going into a day and the level of energy coming out and start to feel that trend over time. Hi, Internet friends. It's John here. Internet Friends is brought to you by my work at Ablaze Interactions, where I solve communication problems for clients who work to repair our world. I can help with information architecture to transform your website, content strategy to tell the right story and reach the right audience, and writing and editing to find the authentic voice of your company or organization, your product, or your idea. Ablaze Interactions has consulted for world-renowned events, political candidates, law firms, nonprofits, and great apps on the App Store. Light up your ideas. Go to ablaze.co and let me know if you're interested in working together.
When I think about it, journaling has been one of the things that I've been most consistent in, not entirely consistent in, but most consistent in over the course of the last year, kind of doing a mental check-in right now. Those moments within that last year where I have done it every day, I have felt better than the moments where I have not. This last week is one of the times where I've slipped and stopped entirely, maybe 2 weeks ago at this point, whereas before I was doing it. I was journaling more in the vein of the like morning pages from The Artist's Way type thing, just writing.
Sure.
With the commitment of writing a couple of pages. There's no real reason or rationale for it. It's just me trying to log something. And that is good. I have these like urges with the iPad. I have these moments where I feel like I almost know what I want to do with the iPad, because as we've discussed, the iPad is by far the device that feels the closest to what I've always wanted a computer to be. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I love about technology and what I've always craved before the iPad existed was this like modularity where you could just pick it up and in seconds be doing the exact thing that you want to do. Mm-hmm. And with the newest iPad Pro and the Apple Pencil, like drawing and sketching and writing have felt more attainable than ever, which is great because for years I've always thought that I would do that with an iPad and I never have, because pre-Apple Pencil, it was terrible to actually write on the screen. Mm-hmm. And then post-Apple Pencil, Apple Pencil 1.0, I would always lose it. Yeah. So having it magnetically attached to my iPad at all times has meant that it is used all the time. And I don't know if we've talked about this or not, but I bought this matte screen protector for the iPad to give it an almost papery feel.
Yeah.
And once I did that, probably 2 months ago, I began writing on my iPad almost daily or many oftentimes multiple times a day, because now it feels so good to write. Mm. But I have this app, and I never remember the name of it.
Thoughts, the red one?
Yes, Thoughts. I have this app that I've never taken off my dock, even though I don't use it every day, because it's this like perfect whiteboard vibe app that you can just open up and immediately begin drawing in, and you don't have to select a paper type or landscape or portrait or how big or how small. You can just start writing, and because it has that like infinite complexity, you can of zooming in and zooming out, it feels really, really good. Maybe what I need is almost like a task management meets journaling solution, where I have this ultimate tool, like an OmniFocus or a Things, where everything goes into, but then I have this like sketched out version of my day that I've always been trying to fit into a Things or an OmniFocus, but I need like room to draw or to think or to like move things around. And I wonder if mm-hmm. it would be better suited in a place like Thoughts or GoodNotes than it is in an actual proper task manager.
I think that's a pretty interesting idea. I'm really into hybrid systems like that. I actually am using something that I haven't told you about in any venue, I don't think, that I'm not sure is the right solution for you, but it's definitely proving interesting for me. And I didn't think about it before when I was talking about journaling, but it has kind of taken the place of that for me. But whatever your sort of primary place is, let's call it the primary place, the sort of more free form one that lets you kind of put it all out there before you get it organized into a list of tasks. I'm working actually with somebody, a younger person, a person who was a participant in the camp program that I was working at this summer, to get her kind of going on OmniFocus. And she was already a bullet journal person, which is not a system I've tried. It's interesting to me for sure, but it's like there's too much manual labor involved.
That's how I feel.
As far as like migrating the things from one month to the next. But I certainly respect it. And it's like for people who have that need for the tactile pen and paper process, which I just don't have, I fully understand how that works. And so one of the things I've been encouraging her really hard to do is not stop doing that, basically, and to instead come up with some sort of maintenance process by which stuff that comes up in the bullet journal process becomes an OmniFocus project, and then you check it out of the bullet journal and check it into OmniFocus to do it, and then check it back in to bullet journal to keep that process going. Mm-hmm. So I'm big into taking the time to figure out what that interface looks like between two different systems, and having one that's more freeform and emotive and creative, and one that's much more linear about getting to the end of the tasks that arise out of that and projects that arise out of that. I think that for you, a freeform drawing application with a sort of infinite surface sounds like a really good solution. I haven't really looked into this whole GoodNotes thing yet, but can you give me like a capsule summary of what the difference between using that and using like a completely blank canvas like Thoughts would be?
Yeah, GoodNotes is amazing. It's my favorite pencil handwriting type app for the iPad. I actually wrote some articles about it for the Suite setup because I really truly love it a lot. It is based on the system that feels more like a hierarchy in a traditional notes app, but each of the what would otherwise be like a category in a notes app is an actual journal with like pages that are a certain size. Mm. And so you can choose, you know, the traditional types of paper, lined, grid, dotted, and then various other ones like task management papers, where mm-hmm. it's like a list of line items or a calendar. And then you can choose portrait orientation or landscape orientation. It's not like you can open it and just begin drawing immediately. Uh-huh. You have to make a series of decisions before you actually get to the drawing part. And that's a challenge for me. And yeah. I have never been someone who has been able to consistently maintain a paper task manager. And I would consider GoodNotes to be that same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's just a skeuomorphic digital one.
Yeah, but I just can't do it for more than a couple days in a row.
Yeah.
And I'm not the kind of person to open it over and over again and check to make sure I'm actually getting the things done and moving things to the next day that I haven't done. In my dream world, again, the dream world that does not exist and I can't wait for, but I would be able to have a digital calendar that had some kind of like handwriting mode. It's like, I wish that I could have a calendar app that I could like zoom into a day and start penciling in things. Mm-hmm. And then it would turn into a digital event that could then get moved around that way. Things that are like written by hand seem to stick in my brain a little bit more than an event that's casually typed out with like a keyboard. Mm-hmm. That's what I want with the iPad as a whole, is I want to be able to pick up my pencil and all of a sudden do a whole different type of work when I have the pencil in my hand, as opposed to just viewing things on a screen or with the keyboard attached. And I feel the same way for like books. I wish that there was this amazing highlighting and annotating system that existed within books when you had an Apple Pencil in your hand, but of course, not quite there yet.
Yeah, they really need to do that. Like just have some kind of like second layer that goes on top of it that's spatially mapped to the page, but isn't the page that you can switch to when you pick your pencil up. That absolutely should be a feature of books.
With iOS 13, they have their version of it, which is you can like swipe from the edge of a screen and it takes a screenshot and you can mark up that. But that's not what I want. No. I don't want a marked up photo in my photo gallery. Photos, yeah. I want it to live in books, you know?
Yeah. Notes is the app I sort of use as the bridge for all of these kinds of things, because it does have that multimodal thing and it can have checklists and things like that in addition to handwriting. And maybe you know this hack already, but you can get the iCloud link to a note even if you don't share it with someone.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
I think I learned this from Vitici because he was using it in some really clever way. But like I use URLs like this a lot, and iCloud increasingly, even files in iCloud Drive have much easier, more accessible URLs that you can. If you can't actually attach the things together between two apps, which sometimes you can at least throw a link into the notes field of something that will let you jump back and forth more easily. So like I have a lot of OmniFocus tasks that have a URL, an iCloud.com URL in the notes field that will launch me into a note in notes. And you can do that with a lot of stuff, and you can probably do it with thoughts documents because they will have an iCloud Drive URL. And if, you know, I'm not actually sure off the top of my head if this is an iOS 12, but it seems like it is definitely, well, supposed to be an iOS 13. Maybe it'll be an iOS 13.2 or something. But, you know, the real like shared file stuff in iCloud Drive would make it at least possible for you to put files and folder links to files and folders so that you can at least jump back and forth if you can't do it inside the app. The date thing, I think, is really an interesting problem. And like that's so like the reason I thought of that is that you could, even though notes doesn't really have, it does have time, like date stamps for the last, for when the note was created and the last time it was modified. But what you could really do is grab that URL and put it in a notes field of an event in calendar, and you may even be able to like drag and drop it on the iPad and do that. We'd have to play around to see. But like an app like Agenda, where it really is a calendar, it's a notes app wrapped inside of a calendar, like that level of integration would really help with the process that you're describing. The one other category of app that lives at this level that that I was referring to before is kind of the opposite of what you're looking for. So I'm not sure it'll be that helpful to you, but I've actually started using mind mapping with which I've actually been calling brainstorming, like structured brainstorming. Like mind, like it is the category of app is that it's a mind map app, meaning like it's a canvas of like a central node idea that has branching nodes that you just add that can each have their own branches. So you can sort of create a tree structured outline of something and jump around between the levels and make connections between the levels and stuff like that. But the activity that I'm doing with it is I'm referring to as brainstorming. And I've actually added to my OmniFocus daily routine list a brainstorm task that I've set for 11 a.m. where I open up MindNode, which is the mind mapping app of choice, I think. And I either create a new blank mind mapping document or pick one of the ones in the folder that I'm thinking about right now to keep working on. And even just spending 5 minutes kind of brain dumping into a mind map structure really helps me get my thoughts together. And I think what's really helpful about it is that you don't have to proceed in a linear fashion. You can go as far down one rabbit hole as you can. And because I've thought of this as brainstorming, I sort of don't let myself stop and hesitate. I will instead, if something else comes to mind, I will jump horizontally or even jump all the way back up to the top and start a whole new rabbit hole. And what I end up with is an incomplete, but it's an incomplete idea, but it's a complete map of the thinking that I was doing for that period of time. And I like mind mapping as an interface to this because it's hands on the keyboard the whole time. Like it's the opposite of using the pencil to get the thoughts out, but I'm able to just type and type and type and just bang the return key to drill down and use the arrow keys to navigate around, which is how I do things fast without thinking. So that's sort of an in between the blank canvas and the fully structured, kind of date stamped journaling process. And one thing that's cool about MindNode is that it has the same kind of like checklist formatted item that like you can do in Notes. You know how you can make like little check boxes next to lines in Notes that are sort of lightweight tasks, but you're not like accountable to them in any way. You can make a node in MindNode into a task in the same way that has a checkbox. And if you select a bunch of those in one node and you send it to OmniFocus with the share extension, it turns into an OmniFocus project with the right hierarchy. Like if they have child tasks, they become child tasks in OmniFocus. So it's really cool. So that way I don't have to jump out of the mind map. If I start thinking of like how I would actually accomplish one of these things, I can do it right in there and then I can send it to OmniFocus when I'm done. So that's the category that's working for me. But I think that like you're almost there as far as, I mean, like this basic idea of like having a canvas, thinking about it in terms of the day, like maybe journaling is too loaded of a term for what it is, although it sounds like it is a term that works for you. It's something that you have been doing at least sometimes. But like this kind of download to yourself before even turning to the task manager feels like a pretty helpful process. And maybe there's a parallel. I always want there to be a companion process to any like first thing in the morning type of thing like this, to do it at the end of the day or like do some accounting of it at the end of the day, which is something I very, very rarely, even before I had a child that needed like a 2 hour like odyssey before like I could do anything for my own needs again every day, I was having a really hard time like closing out my day even just for myself. But it seems elegant to me to have like a check-in at the end of the day with whatever that first aspirational process in the morning was to see how it went.
Do you have recurring, like daily recurring tasks or no?
Yeah, lots of them.
Do you do all of those daily recurring tasks every day?
Not every single one. But the system is constructed for accountability. Are you thinking of specifically like this kind of thing, like sort of brain, like mind work type things? You know, not just like meditation and, you know, exercise and what have you, but like productivity oriented ones?
Yeah, I mean both. I was just curious to see if those are like, do you bother putting those things on the task manager if you're going to be doing them every day?
Yeah, there's a specific class of things that I do. I don't have meditation in my task manager, but that's a whole episode in itself about like using software for spiritual practices. There will be a lot of OmniFocus terminology in explaining how this works, but there are three types of project in OmniFocus. And the last and most mysterious of the three is called the single action list, which is separate from a sequential project where like things have to happen in a specific order, or a parallel project where things can happen in any order at the same time, as long as they all get done. A single action list is kind of basically, it's just a list of tasks that don't necessarily need to be that deeply associated with each other. But in practice, I think what they turn into is kind of like your projects that don't have an ending. There's no like way of finishing this project. It's like the ongoing project of being yourself,
right?
You know? And so health stuff and money stuff and household stuff, all of these are single action lists for me. And communication is one of my single action lists. So like projects of like corresponding with people, like, you know, those aren't projects that have like a, you do it and then you're done. Like there are things that will keep going throughout your entire life.
Right. Which I don't mean to derail you, but like that is one of my major annoyances with things is that everything is supposed to be a project that concludes and there's not really a way to make it otherwise. You can have areas, but you're supposed to create projects and put the tasks within the projects. And it always feels weird to have a project that has no foreseeable or possible conclusion.
Right.
And it just kind of lives there as like a, there's like a circle that gets filled in as tasks get completed. And it just feels weird to have this half-filled circle that will never, ever be filled.
Uh-huh. And so there are slight differences in the way that OmniFocus presents stuff to you between a parallel project and a single action list, where like in a parallel project, there's still like a sense of hierarchy, like where in the list something is. Gives it, like, if it's higher up than the thing below it, it's kind of treated as more important. Whereas in a single action list, it's kind of like anything goes. And the result of that is that, like, you don't feel like this whole list of things, like, has to get done. It's just, like, you know, a list of ongoing stuff. So I have one called maintenance. And a lot of the stuff in my maintenance project is janitorial in nature, you know, like cleaning out you know, inboxes of various things, or reviewing my wish lists on Amazon to make sure, like, you know, like, just because when else are you gonna, you know, you need to remember to look at those from time to time. I put a lot of just one-off things in there, like if I ever need to figure out how to automate something in shortcuts or drafts, you know, or just like even just to remind myself to create some complex thing in OmniFocus that I'm not just going to sit down and do right now. Like the task to create that goes in this maintenance project. So you get it. It's kind of like life maintenance, but it's not like household. It's system maintenance. It's maintenance of the kind of system that we're having this conversation about.
Yeah.
I have one parent task in here called check instruments, which is a term I'm borrowing from aviation, which is like there's a concept of what a pilot is supposed to be doing when, even when they're straight and level flying, like they're not technically not doing anything, or, you know, apparently not doing anything. What you're doing while you're straight and level is you're checking your instruments. You're going around in a cycle to make sure that everything looks normal on each one at a time. So I have this daily procedure that's like at set times, and this is the thing that the brainstorm task that I was referring to before goes into. So like I check, the first one is to check the forecast perspective in OmniFocus, which is the sort of like mixture of tasks that are due today mixed in with calendar events, like from your actual calendar, so that you can see what the actual landscape of the day is. So the first thing on check instruments is at 9 a.m. I check the forecast. And from that list. And then there's also a little list of not to do an OmniFocus lesson, but there is a way of showing of some, like tasks you've designated to show up in Forecast as a list in the bottom, like even if they don't have a date or do, you know, or anything associated with them. So I have like this short list. They're like candidate tasks for things that I might do today. So at 9 a.m. when I check the forecast, I pick from that list basically what's really going to happen that day. And then that happens at 9. Then at 11, I do the brainstorm, which is to sort of shake out any cobwebs and figure out what else is going on and see if like I need to reevaluate how my day is going or what I'm working on. Then at 12 o'clock, I have one called Overview, which is a perspective in OmniFocus as well. And it's the biggest picture one. It's the one that's got every single available task, even if it hasn't been assigned a higher priority. So I look down this list of all my projects and see what all the stuff I could be doing is, even if it's not stuff I said earlier, like I might do this today. And at that point, I may promote it to do today, or I might put that little tag on it that makes it show up in forecast tomorrow, so that tomorrow it'll be on the short list. And then at 5 o'clock, I have another check of two perspectives. One that's called future, which I made up, which is like stuff that's deferred. So it's not available right now, sorted by how soon it will become available. So it's like a way of looking around the corner at stuff I haven't thought about yet that I don't have to think about now, but I will have to think about soon, which I think is like a thing that's missing from OmniFocus right out of the box. So if there's like some big like weeks long project that's like a week away, like that's when I'll be reminded of it, and not in a way that's like you have to start thinking about this now, in a way that's like you have to start thinking about this in a week, which I think is really helpful for softening the blow of like how overwhelming it is to start something big. And then at the same time, I check the forecast again one more time to make sure that everything got done today that needs to get done. And then I peek ahead to tomorrow's forecast to see what that's going to be like. And then when I check that off, that finishing those child tasks checks off the check instruments project, and then it resets to the next day. And that project is set to only to not show up on Saturdays. So Saturday being, you know, the Lord's day of rest, according to my people, is a day that I do not oblige myself to do this. So it's just Sunday to through Friday. And it actually stops early on Friday too. I don't do the last forecast check on Friday. So that's the main stuff that I have every day. And it's all about knowing what's going on. You know, it's not like stuff that I need to do in a, you know, it's not like journal. Like brainstorm is different, I feel like, because I'm not doing anything with these mind maps. I consider them all throwaway documents. Like if there's something important that I need to extract from one, like I said, it can be turned into tasks and sent to OmniFocus, or it can be turned into an outline and turned into a writing document, whatever. I think of them as crumple up and throw away pieces of paper. So like I do have these daily tasks, but they're all about situational awareness. They're not really about it's not writing 3 pages a day.
Hello, internet friends. It's Drew, and I want to tell you about Keyhouse. There's a quote from Kurt Vonnegut that I read tucked away in an essay he wrote about the seasons, where he said that he thought that the idea of 4 seasons was a lie. Instead, we should have 6. Fall doesn't move to winter, and winter doesn't move to spring. Instead, he thought the season should be like so. Summer, fall, locking, winter, unlocking, and spring. I believe there's a beautiful poetry to the idea that creation itself requires a time of unlocking before anything of substance can bloom. And perhaps you're listening to this message right now, stuck between what you're doing and what you want to do for the rest of your life, realizing that you might be in that cruel season of unlocking too. Find your own space for unlocking. Go to Keyhouse, KEYHOU.SE, and let's find the key. I mean, that gives me a lot to think about. I think that the things that I feel pretty clear about are I do need to figure out a hybrid system that works for me, because I've been trying to make a single thing, like things are OmniFocus, work, but I don't think my brain does that. I think I need a little bit more flexibility. And then your check-in stuff makes so much sense to me. And I think what happens with me is I have recurring tasks that are just things that need to get done. And then I miss one, and then it sits there in my inbox looking sad, and then I get sad, and then I stop looking at everything. But if I was actually able to make the checking in of the system a part of the system, I might be much more apt to never let that happen and reschedule things as they need to happen. Because I'm assuming that there are tasks that, you know, you push back or move around or whatever it might be on a regular basis.
Yeah. And so there's actually something I forgot to mention, which is that OmniFocus recently added a feature that makes this much more possible to do without leaving that sort of looming thing you didn't do, which is they've had the status. They've had a dropped status for projects for a long time, where like if a project is aborted without finishing it, you can set it to dropped and it disappears. So it disappears the same way something that's completed disappears. But what you have is you have an archive of projects that were completed and projects that were dropped, instead of just deleting it so that it disappears from the database entirely. So you are still, so that the data is recoverable. If you ever decide to like revive the project or whatever, you can set it back to available.
And you don't have to go through the morally degrading process of marking it as completed, even though it's not, and feeling sad about that.
Right. When it wasn't. Yeah, exactly. But so they've had that for projects for a long time, and they've just added it as a status for tasks as well. So if I'm doing my check instruments process that day and I'm like, you know what, I am not going to get to the brainstorm today, I don't have to check it off. I can, or leave it. I can drop it very quickly. And so then what I'm able to do is look back through a perspective that looks back at this and see like, oh, I only brainstormed like 7 times this month. You know, maybe I should readjust the system. And that's way better than like leaving, you know, meditate due at 9 a.m. today, you know, like leaving that until tomorrow,
right?
And being like, wow, I still have to do yesterday's meditation. How am I going to do yesterday's and today's, you know? and like I said, I don't put meditation into OmniFocus, but it's the same idea. Like now there is a graceful way to drop something so that it goes away today. And so this daily check-in system keeps me moving through the process of doing a day. And like, as a result of the way this system, this particular procedure is structured, I'm going to drop the stuff that's not going to happen. I'm not just going to leave it piling up.
Well, that was really helpful. And I think that even though I said that I need interventions in multiple fronts, that has set me on the path for health in a lot of different ways. The thing that I wanted to ask before this is all over, though, is do you have certain systems or a system in place for your life so that when you like come across things that are important to you, they're saved? Because I mean, you were the person that did that in my life for the, like, you were the first person that I ever saw who did something like that. You were the first person that I knew, and maybe the only person that I know, to be honest, who used Pinboard. Mm-hmm. And you had the amazing, I can never remember the actual handle, but the reading account on your Twitter.
It's had a bunch of handles, but currently it's John_is_reading.
Right. So you've had these things in really cool ways that I thought, this is amazing. As somebody who wants to like collect the web and collect things that are important to me. Oh, and one of our first interactions, which I don't know if I've ever brought up on this show or not, but one of the first interactions that we ever had was you gifting me the app Quotebook, which was very kind because you didn't know me that well. But, you know, it was clear that it was important to me, and it was clear that it was important to you, and that's what I've always liked. But I feel like things have shifted so much over the years, and there's like not even any good Pinboard apps for the iPhone anymore, as far as I understand it. How are you dealing with saving the things that matter to you in 2019?
So there's a few different places, and I guess the definition of matter and the definition of thing, you know, is variable. But I am still using Pinboard for saving web links. But I think of that as a low priority place to save things. Like that's mostly just sort of keeping a trail of breadcrumbs of what I've come across. And I do have a set of tags that I use for things that I want to remember in particular categories. And those get spat out over the John is Reading Twitter account also. But that's really more just for like, for that moment where I'm like, I was just reading this thing that I am thinking of in this conversation and I can barely remember it. Like, that's where I will be able to find that thing. I wouldn't say that those are all things that matter to me. I would say that they are things that could matter to me someday. And so I have to have some very lightweight way of keeping track of them. And I do use Pinner for iOS for saving things, but that's all I use it for, is just saving things. You know, the extension works fine. And so I use it for saving things to Pinboard. When I actually do look back through Pinboard, I just use his website, even though it looks really terrible and small on a phone. Like, it's so freaking fast that that's just what I end up doing. But things that really matter end up in Notes now. Notes has taken the place of an app like Quotebook that was just specifically for quotes. It's really nice. I've been reconnecting with Matthew from Lickability, the app shop that created that app, and they're now like a big company. They're not big, but they're a company, and they have like big clients and employees and stuff, and it's really a wonderful thing. They just had their 10th anniversary. So I've been talking to him. Hope he's listening. That would be really cool. Quotebook was a really wonderful class of application at a time when it was like, you know what? There's no way to like keep quotes and organize them by the people who said them.
Right.
Just have metadata around quotes that are about quotes. And it was such a wonderful little database to have. So now folders and notes is how I handle that, basically. And really everything ends up in there. Even significant web links end up in there. Because if I have a topic that I'm continually adding things to, I will have a note with a title of that topic. And over time, I will do mixtures of typing things, adding images, adding PDFs, adding podcast episodes, and adding web links in that nice sort of rich preview format that Notes can do when you send stuff in there. So that's the catch-all place. I do use books as a sort of personal library of reading. You know, like I have a lot of PDFs in books. I even frequently use the really awesome Save as PDF in Books share extension. You know about that? Where if you're in on a web page in Safari, you can hit button and it will save like the reader mode version of that site, like really nicely formatted as a paged PDF document, and go right into your books library. So I have a lot of folders in books also. So I think of that as kind of an archive. And then I have a lot of folders in iCloud Drive too. This isn't something I've delved too deeply into, but like inside my synced documents folder in iCloud Drive, I have tons of folders of different kinds of things. Remember a while ago, you and I were sort of searching for like something that basically works the way Pinterest does, but in a much more personal way.
Yeah.
The way that I ended up solving this mood board problem for myself is just folders in iCloud Drive.
Huh.
So I have folders full of images, because when you open the folder on the Mac or in iOS, you get a bunch of thumbnail previews of those images. So, it's perfectly good enough and it's accessible from everywhere.
Hmm.
So that is all I'm doing, is just keeping things in folders.
So what about like books though? Are you meticulously like moving notes of books into Apple Notes?
When I am reading a book that I want to take notes on, I am creating a note in Notes in a folder. This is what I was about to say, is that it all comes down to folder structures and sort of names, right, of folders. And the same thing applies to projects and tags and OmniFocus too. Like I'm a very heavy user of emoji in this situation. I will label, every folder with an emoji as well as a text name. And the reason for that is not just to be cute. It's also to make them, in this new iOS 7 paradigm where like everything is just blank fields of emptiness with plain text on them, like emoji are the only way to add any kind of texture, color, and distinction to a text label. So these emoji really help me identify which one I'm looking for at any given time. And they also allow me to create some consistency between the systems, like in OmniFocus versus Notes versus the Finder. And they're not the same. Like the systems are not the same in every place because the way the tool works is not the same and the things I use it for are not the same. But there is some overlap, some consistency. So I want to be able to find the relevant stuff in any given app for the thing I'm doing. And like I know which system to look in for what kind of stuff, like format wise. iBooks folders, I do this too, but basically in books folders, it's just genres of books, you know, it's like, or subjects. It's kind of like library categories, you know, like history, politics, religion, novels, whatever. So like each of these systems has its own, folder, like each of these folder systems has its own, kind of logic to it, but like I can know where in books to find the relevant books, and where in notes to find the relevant notes if I'm working on something that bridges those two areas. So like in notes, I will have a section of my notes folders that makes sense as the place to put the notes on a given kind of book I'm reading. And I will just use books and notes in side-by-side view or in, you know, just swiping back and forth if I'm on my phone. And I will... I'll do a lot of sending highlights from books to that note. If I'm just quoting something, or I'll just jump over and type down my thoughts. I guess my only sort of ad hoc system is like, I use italics for the me talking notes in there and like, you know, non-italicized text in quotes for the quotations. You know, I organize that with headings and things like that. So I have this note that is associated with a book, and I will put the link, the books.apple.com link to the book at the top of the note so that I can jump straight to that note. And you know, that's not a perfect system. It doesn't like feed back and forth. There's no way to, you know, pop up a note inside of the book and type and save the way that we would want there to be, and to have like a link to that particular quote inside the book, to, you know, like that would be the ideal way. It doesn't work like that, but it's good enough. And like with search, you know, it's still reasonably fast.
Yeah. I guess for me, I think I just need to figure out the way that fits for my brain, because I mean, it's all kind of broken right now. Like, I don't really love any way of taking notes. You know, trying to take notes from a physical book sucks because then you have to transcribe them or something. And taking notes from a digital book sucks because there's like weird limitations on how much you can copy and paste, and it formats things strangely, and there's all these problems. But I mean, regardless, it's possible. And especially on an iPad, having something like Books open next to Notes, it should be doable. I think I just haven't been happy with any of the solutions for so long that I've given up entirely. And that ain't great. So I think I need to figure out that kind of thing for me and make it a little more worthwhile. I'm assuming that the same thing is like for an essay that you read online, that you figure out an interesting way of taking notes there or saving it, and then you put it in the notes as well.
Yeah. Well, the thing about that is that it's relatively easy to copy the whole thing into notes.
Right.
And in really extreme cases, that's what I'll do. I will copy the whole text and I will like create new indented paragraphs of italicized notes or of my own thoughts, like actually interspersed into the essay, which is kind of interesting. You still want it as like metadata, you know, you want the essay and you want to hover over a paragraph and see what your own thoughts on it were. But you know, we make do.
Let's say that you want to act on a piece of that information that you've come across, and you want to create a blog about it. Or, I mean, right now, I think maybe a decent handful of that stuff is newsletter stuff or Inside Apple. Although I think that might be even more automated, where it's pretty streamlined. I've heard your process for that.
Yeah, that doesn't even make it down to this level. I'm not like keeping the notes about the Apple news of the week. You know,
right.
That's all just going into drafts and then going into the archives and drafts. It's not something I consider like life data. It's just work exhaust.
Is there a way that you take notes that are meaningful for you and put them back into your task manager, or no?
Take notes on, I guess I need to know more specifically what.
Well, let's say that you read a really incredible, you know, highlight from a book or an essay that you think is remarkable, and you want to write something about it yourself or share it in your own way.
Yeah.
Is there a way that you remind yourself to do that in the future? Future John?
It has varied based on the ways I have of writing about stuff. And like when I was doing a lot more link blogging, I guess like there are the most developed link blogging process I ever came up with was for the Grindwell blog when I was writing about meditation kind of once a day. And that would be involved sort of sending block quotes into drafts as in a template form. And then like it would have like I would then end up with a pile of potential link blog posts in my inbox and drafts that I could then finish and press a post button and it would get posted there. But I've kind of slimmed down and actually majorly redesigned my personal blog on my personal site and kind of from now on think that's the only place that I'll really post serious writing in the future. Like that's been my home for my writing for 10 years and I've just like had various other distracting side projects and now it's just like, you know what, I have a blog, it's been around for a long time, I'm going to use that. So that actually simplifies things. And what I don't really have that correlated of a system between like my raw material, my saved stuff, like we've been talking about, and the things I'm writing. But I do have a lot of, incomplete blog posts floating around in the IA Writer folder structure. And so whenever I'm looking at sort of what kinds of writing of things I want to write are floating around, I go to IA Writer to see those things. Because of how organized this sort of stock of saved stuff is, like I know where to look for source material for something like that. But it will end up in the text file in some raw form at some point, whether I just haul the whole thing over by copying and pasting it or put the URL to the notes, to the note in notes, like I was saying before. It's still pretty messy, but like, I know where both sides of it are at any given time. I would really like for the Squarespace app to still become better at like blog posts in process. But the way it is right now, I kind of finish the blog post as a markdown file in IA Writer and then use the Squarespace app only for like finishing and publishing it. I have links back and forth between the raw material and the thing I'm writing. But like I've optimized my writing for the kind of writing I really love to do, which is like 2000 plus word long personal blog posts rather than short responses. There's nothing in between like a tweet. There's one tweet, there's threaded tweets, and then there's a 2000 word blog post on my blog and there's kind of nothing in between. I have no problem these days. I mean, it's really funny. I bet we could go back in our podcast and find me saying like really disparaging, dismissive things about Twitter threads. But I've decided that I really love the format because I can just tweet something, one thing about something. And if something else occurs to me later or as I continue reading, I can just go back and hang it on that same one and then bump the whole thread up for everybody. Like I love that.
Totally.
So the answer is really like, it's going to be if I care enough about it to do something about it right now, to share something about it right now, I'm going to tweet it because I can turn it into a longer thread if it turns into one as I go. And that still might turn into a blog post. But that's the only other place it could be is like, if I haven't tweeted it already, it's floating around as a text file in IA Writer. And drafts sometimes too, but that's more for something that I don't know what's going to happen to it yet. And it never lasts very long in there. That's the point of it. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, but
yeah, it does.
That's the system such as it is.
Well, I feel like we could probably talk about this for several more hours, but we can conclude this now. And I think for me, we started this conversation by me acknowledging that a good system means that I'll be creating things. And if I don't have a good system in place, I often do not. So I need to take your advice about how to run a task manager properly, create a hybrid system that feels good, stop stop freaking out that my 100% perfect system doesn't exist and just deal with what I have, which is what I need to do with the new book that I started reading. I just highlighted a bunch of stuff today and it went nowhere, but it needs to go into a note in Apple Notes or something like that. Yeah. And then I need to figure out what it means to create. So this has been helpful for me in realizing, I think I personally needed a space where I could just admit to myself that those 100% systems don't exist and I need to deal with it. Uh-huh. And hearing somebody who is very good at making the system work for them has made me feel like maybe I can make my own little slice of happiness.
I think you summed it up really nicely. And, you know, of course, it's always a work in progress. So we can keep checking in on various pieces of it. But yeah, I think the number one thing I would encourage you to walk away from this conversation with is that, like, you got to deal with the tools as they are, and you can make your own tools to whatever extent you can. But like, the only option is to just forgive the tools for doing only what they can do, and try and work them around yourself in ways that aren't holding you back. Mm. Because the limitations of the tools are not necessarily the limitations of your system. You just have to rearrange the pieces of your system around you so that you can get your thing done another way. Get the worst thing that can happen is you get stuck inside of one app's own way of doing things so much that its limitations become your limitations, because that's not how we are.